You're listening to a podcast from 702.
First, we talk about failure, and today we've invited South African actress, model, television host. She's a radio personality and, of course, just a gem. She's just such a gem. And that is none other than Pearl Tusi. She's with us for this week's Upside of Failure.
702.
The Upside of Failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
She's just always, always brave, always speaks her mind. And you'll know her from roles such as on the number one ladies detective agency. She was on Quantico. She was also in Catching Feelings. Remember Catching Feelings? Still, I think it's such an underrated quality show that's come out of South Africa. And she, of course, is the one and only Queen Sono, that Netflix, which was a first African original. And she's the host of Behind the Story. Pearl Tusi joins us this afternoon as we talk about failure. You know, on Fridays, we put a spotlight on the in-between moments, in-between our moments of success. What is going on? What has brought about the lessons? And as so many of our guests have said in the past, they've learned so much from their moments of failure that it helped to catapult them to the success that they are today. Good afternoon, Pearl. Mama Panther.
How are you? Good afternoon.
I am so good. That is one of the... it's one of those nicknames or one of those titles that I think best captures you.
Thank you so much. It's so weird because when people like yourself, and I don't mean to name drop, but like Blair Underwood would be like Mama Panther, and I'm just like, yeah, this is weird.
I know there was...
But it's super cool at the same time that it's stuck.
There's another interview where you were like, Kevin Spacey told me, I don't mean to talk about Kevin that way, I know he's not popular to talk, but just name dropping a whole Blair Underwood, a whole Kevin Spacey. Yo, Pearl. Yeah, you're that girl. That's you. That's you. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Not everybody says yes, by the way, Pearl, because it's about talking about areas of our life that we never want to shine a spotlight on. But you did. Why?
Well, actually, initially, it wasn't about saying no. It was about preparation. Because firstly, I'm talking to you. And secondly, you know, I think that's something that, you know, don't make me tell that story again.
No, but now it's going to sound like we're having an inside joke. And that's always rude.
The story of the very first interview I did with you, where I tried to be all short and quick and like concise, because I was always told like I blabber on for too long.
Yeah.
And then you were like, girl, you need to talk. So to this day now, if I know I'm talking to you, I get my facts straight. I get my things together. So there's that. And I just think talking about failure, this is an opportunity, especially with the audience you have. It's an opportunity to really kind of reach the right people and be meaningful, and not, because it's easy. You know, I answer this type of question more often than I even think. And, you know, kind of like the same answers. I was worried about saying stuff that other people have said. Then I thought, actually, that's a mistake or a failure in its own, because sometimes people need to hear things from different perspectives,
right,
in order to kind of get it entrenched in their minds that it's okay that this happens, because it happens to everyone. So I had that kind of conflict in my mind, but I was excited to talk.
That's really reassuring. It's good to know, because it means that there's always a level of vulnerability, you know, that it demands. But you're one of those people who's never been afraid to speak your mind, whether popular or unpopular. You say it like it is anyway. You know, you just talk straight, regardless of the backlash or the favor that may follow after that, especially on social media. And what have you learned over the years of being able to exercise this muscle and strengthen that muscle and still go ahead and speak regardless of what may come?
I think it's just authenticity. If you can just be honest and real, you sleep better at night. Maybe some other people might attack you and you have to deal with things that are uncomfortable. But I feel like in that discomfort, you have that phoenix that continuously rises within, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always fun also to have everybody agree with you or, you know, kind of by your face, you need sometimes to be challenged and to realize that even that opinion or how you shared it is a mistake, and go back to certain people who might have specifically been affected and apologize or be accountable at the very least for what you said and what instigated you to say something like that, and be understanding and call yourself to accountability. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it brings a lot of self-awareness when you are brave enough to make mistakes and fall down, get back up, own that mistake, own that moment, and keep moving.
Yes, yes. And not let it silence you. I think that's also a consequence that may happen to some people, that you end up just going quiet instead of continuing to speak, because we have a discourse that wants to shut out people that we don't agree with. We don't agree with you. We want to shout at you so loud that you shrink away and disappear. Here. You put together a little bit of your list about the areas that you think over the years have been maybe areas of failure. You say, what is your philosophy firstly when you consider failure?
I mean, I guess I figured this out as I was writing this. You know, I put down 3 points, and the 3 points that I've put down is, and I elaborate on them, but I just kind of, I don't know, you never know who's listening and might want to write stuff down. So I just put together, like, resilience for me is the most important thing. When I know that I need to prove to not only the world, but most importantly to myself, that something matters to me, then I will be resilient no matter how many challenges come my way. And then secondly, there's imposter syndrome and how it can be such a double-edged sword. With it and how difficult that is, and also just letting go. And I think that third point might be one of the ones that make it to Twitter, but let's see what happens. So with the resilience thing, I always think of J.K. Rowling, and you know, she's, and many other stories of the most successful people that make mistakes, they built resilience and proved that they had that will to succeed. You know, you learn through mistakes and failure. Success is the result of overcoming barriers and charting new paths. And I mean, you've really only failed once you've stopped trying. Mm-hmm. And once you've learned that giving up is a sign that maybe that dream or goal is not worth fighting for. And I learned through auditioning repeatedly for Zone 14 and other shows of the like, especially when I was modeling and I was pretty young, that not getting what I thought was mine or what I wanted or desperately desired is not like a missed opportunity if I didn't miss the opportunity to learn from that experience or from not receiving that opportunity. I need to learn what I need to do, how do I need to prepare myself and build myself so that I can one day then have that opportunity as well. I think my resilience then taught me that I needed to continuously prepare for that moment with the lessons I learned on site while trying to find the work as well. Like, only the fittest are going to survive in certain industries, or at least at the top. And nothing good or great always comes or stays easy. New successes are just an introduction to new challenges at every human level. And that for me has been very powerful, that only my mistakes are the blessings that are going to teach me. Success doesn't teach me anything. It's a short-lived glory. Then you need new problems. And so then I also think, like, expecting not to fail is expecting not to succeed. Failure guides us to, like, uncharted paths. And I'm going to share a quote that I really love. But those uncharted paths, that's where you break the rules that have been normalized but aren't necessarily right until someone creates an evolution in an industry that's by being deeply entrenched in old ways. And it's really beautiful to watch someone create a new world in an old one. And I think there's a quote from Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll even try and do it in the accent, where Captain Barbosa says, one of the sailors saying, "Captain, I think we're lost." And then the guy said, and then Captain Barbosa says, "Of course we're lost. How else you find a place that cannot be found?" Which is, for me, has been life-changing. How else do you find a place that cannot be found if you are not lost? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a bit life-changing. I think the second thing then, if I can carry on, unless you want to ask me something, but imposter syndrome being a double-edged sword, it's like, for me, something I now take as a sign that I respect certain professions and talents. Like, when I ventured into radio, even acting from modeling, it was a very difficult thing for me to do because I respect those professions so much. Even when I started the hair care range, I just thought, who's going to think, you know, I questioned so much that I shouldn't have been. I should have just going for it. No one else was doing it. No wonder I was lost, like I've said before. Mm. So a long story short, I didn't finish my studies at Wits. I had no choice then after that to kind of find the bravery I never had. From the need to take care of my child and family and find the strength I drew from them, from the fear of letting those around me down. So was I even doing this for myself or for the sake of achieving goals? I just like thought, okay, I let myself believe I wasn't worthy and convinced myself that people would catch me. And sometimes I get teary talking about this, but I realized that I wasn't doing this for pure reasons that most thespians would share.
Right.
Until I realized that most thespians and entertainers actually have the same problem. My self-esteem then, Azania, plummeted. But my career was growing and my family's bellies were full. I was doing what I needed to do for them. Mm. But then what I hated about this is that it allowed people to take advantage of me because I created that environment thinking
right.
that I was showing them that I respect them and that I care and that I wanted to learn. But they just saw a girl with no confidence. And a lot of them had already decided that I didn't deserve where I was. And then me putting those people on pedestals allowed them to look down on me. And only a few decided to let me step up and share that view from that pedestal and see that I was actually being too hard on myself. I'd overthink, overprepare, and not fully enjoy the moment, being too afraid to make the mistake or fail, and thinking that would expose me for a fraud. And I hadn't learned that mistakes would do what they could do. So, you know, this is a way, it was very like a crucial. It made me realize that mistakes are crucial and unavoidable part of the journey of success.
Yeah.
You'll never really be proud of every decision you make 1 week or like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you look at pictures from 10 years ago, you think your outfits and hairstyles are fresh, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's just like a lifelong journey. And 10 years from now, you'll look at today and think, oh, I could have done better. With this. So it's just a part of the cycle.
Yeah, but in that moment, that's all you knew. It's so interesting that you say that from the exterior, it seemed like there was this, you were, you know, thriving, enjoying it. But within yourself, you had all those doubts. You were sitting with those doubts secretly. And it kept you from enjoying that moment. So imposter syndrome does steal from us. So when do you think you've overcome it? Or are there always hints of it? Are there always bits of it with every new thing that you attempt, every new thing that you try?
One, especially when you're going to a new place or a new zone in your life, you're always going to face that. I really got over myself, but I can't say the imposter syndrome. I kind of use it. I alchemize it now to drive me. But when I found out Meryl Streep still has imposter syndrome, I thought, oh, okay, well, who am I? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just keep going, girl. You're not in bad company. But what I hated about it was like, you know, you just never feel like you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
You never feel like anything you achieve is enough, which is, for me, like, it's just been the worst thing about it. It's a very dark place. And I've learned that I don't have to be enough. I have to just give myself that moment and give myself to that moment and create or live up to something that's going to be beyond enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you know,
me,
because
I love that.
Funny, I'm reading a book at the moment called Yoga Nidra, and they keep talking about the whole process of accessing the beyond, you know, beyond the sleep state, beyond the relaxed state. So I know when you say beyond, I've been captured by that notion because of what this book says about this technique, this yoga technique called Yoga Nidra. So it's an interesting idea, certainly, that you need, as you say, whatever you're struggling with at the moment, but to always cast your eyes to what is beyond. But it is, it's the feeling of not, the idea of not feeling enough in itself is exhausting. So you're saying you've rejected that enough is enough, because to not feel enough, to whip yourself, to be hard on yourself about not being enough is in itself just too tiring.
It's exhausting. And you've just got to look at all the elements around you. They're there to contribute for you to be more than enough. You don't have to be enough. There's going to be, the universe is going to send things to you that are going to create a moment that is going to be beyond your expectations. Instead of you expecting yourself to be the only thing that lives up to that moment. You know, for me, the people I'm most jealous of on this planet are not people who are more successful than me. They're not people who have more money than me or dress nicer than me. I envy the most people who seem proud and extremely content of their achievements. I've never really had that feeling, at least not maybe since high school when my parents would glorify me and pat my back. And I think I've now transferred that feeling or that type of relationship or dynamic to my children and my sisters. And them, me being part of them inexplicably is the only thing I can really hold on to now or something I can really be fulfilled with. And it's just made me realize that the things that make me proud are not the things that other people see and wish to have that I might have. It's the things that I think the world might never get to experience. And I've also just made peace with that. So I think it's less rejecting the idea of imposter syndrome or that I'm not enough, or allowing the moments that come to me to create the self-awareness or to be aware enough of those moments and live in that moment so that I can be proud of those moments because they're the ones that I don't expect. You know what I mean?
You mentioned your children, and we know how proud you are of them and how much you share of you share parts of your life with your children, with, you know, your the public, broadly speaking. And parenting is hard work. You, like me, have been doing it for a very long time, as in since you were younger. If we look at your lifespan, how many years you've lived, a sizable amount of those years has been of you being a parent. And then you have adopted a little one, Oguhle Gonke. And so it's your daughter, Tando, and Oguhle. And you, of course, seem to be having fun with the girls. But there is always a weight on parent, a weight of, am I doing a good enough job? Am I doing right for these particular souls and individuals? What are your reflections on also being a good enough parent?
You know, I wrote this thing down. I wrote a few points down. And the third point that I wanted to share with you kind of leads up to that, and it, that point I wrote down was, you need to let it go, as the Frozen song goes, let it go. And I learned that while being a parent with the girls, let just let it go. Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched that the way I've had to watch it and how many times I actually had to secretly go cry.
No, thankfully I'm past that phase, really, but I have watched it. Yeah, not 1,000 times though.
Oh my God. Girl, I'm now doubling up the same movie with Oguhle. I thought I was done 6 years back with Tando, but I'm back to letting it go again. But I wanted to say, like, people need to let themselves go into whatever it is they desire. Just let your doubts go. Let them fall away. But more importantly, at least in my journey, let go of toxic environments once they have served you. And I know this sounds weird. How does this lead into my motherhood journey? I'll get there in a sec. But for me, staying too long in a place where you know you don't belong, and leaving everything that had to do with, I'm so sorry that I'm not embarrassed to say this. And if I'm not supposed to say it, I'm sorry. But leaving everything that had to do with the SABC for me and the disrespect I had to endure there was now, in retrospect, probably the best thing I ever did for my career, even maybe being there to some level. I see so many artists that were stuck in that comfort zone. I see so many artists stuck in a comfort zone that grow when they draw a line or are forced out of work because of that institution and that office workers who are kind of competing or bullying with the talent to prove a point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that place is so toxic. It's the opportunity, like, to build character. If you want to build character to really survive the rest of the world, you'll be strong enough to survive and you'll survive. Equally, I think talents there would be abusing each other to stay comfortable or not allow people to thrive and share the stage with them because the comfort has made them believe that what they have is actually just it and there's nothing more to have. They don't evolve. They don't grow. They have low self-esteem because when a slasher walks in the room, they believe that person doesn't respect that one thing they do that they've dedicated their entire lives to in their comfort zone. And the sad thing is when people know you respect and have them on a pedestal, they can abuse that power, which is definitely what happened to me there. And I've learned to filter people's words and contextualize as much as I possibly can. When you have no idea you're threatening people that you think are untouchable, you can do such great damage to your self-esteem. But I'm proud that I show those people love, or I would not know this today at the level that I am now. So if someone pushed me now, I know that I'd fall really hard, because, you know, I'm not at the same level I was back then, but it would be a very long fall, at least for me, because I've worked this hard to get where I am. And just muting the noise of those below you who are trying to pull you down, the keyboard trolls, and then those beside you that you're competing with, and those above you trying to stay ahead of you, at least push you down, is a skill that cannot be transferred. That is something you have to acquire, muting the noise and focusing. There's just no other way.
Yeah.
So that then for me is like, has taught me that I need to be vulnerable with myself, so that also no one can attack my missteps by surprise. And the thing about failure and mistakes is that, of course, I'm not, if I'm not causing trauma, especially in my motherhood, is the self-awareness and vulnerability I feel and go through that I can show and teach my kids so they can learn that same awareness and to forgive themselves, so people cannot use those things against them in the future and throw them off, at least not with the lack of trying. So for me, motherhood is like, my career has prepared me for motherhood, and motherhood has prepared me for my career, because the amount of self-awareness I have through my children, because a lot of the things that I do or that they do that I think are wrong, and some, there'll be a moment where I realize, oh my goodness, I do exactly the same thing. So I need to change first. So I think that as my self-awareness grows, I'm able to be vulnerable with my kids, most importantly, again, with myself, so that I can never be caught off guard and have someone trip me and
I think the key to growth is self-awareness. It's a path that's unavoidable, because therein lies the keys. Sure, Pearl, I did not know your experience at the SABC was that difficult, or that it was that challenging, or that, yes, I work there too, so I know about a toxic environment and the nature of how, or the way in which the management style that makes the environment toxic, very familiar with that. But sure, clearly you've managed to do a lot of work in that regard. But sadly, we're out of time. You know, conversations about failure are always such an opportunity to reflect. And it's been interesting to get a glimpse of this side of you. Thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure. And please hang out with me again. Have a nice afternoon, everybody.
Yes. And keep growing. Keep thriving, Mama Panther. Thank you, Pearl.
Thank you. You too, gorgeous.
That is Pearl Tusi. Yes, we're talking to Pearl Tusi. And of course, she is quite an accomplished South African actress. Number one ladies detective, the number one ladies detective agency, rather, Queen Sono. She's the host of Behind the Story. She was on radio. That's the experience she was mostly referring to at Metro FM alongside Fat Joe many years ago. And she just continues to soar. So that was Pearl Tusi for this afternoon's Upside of Failure.